W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. New Hampshire's Governor Chris Sununu joining a chorus of Republicans criticizing President Biden's timing to shoot down the Chinese spy balloon, telling ABC's This Week,
"You have to have leadership. You have to be transparent. You have to be fast acting. They weren't. They weren't at all."
But Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer today,
"I would use two words in answering these GOP criticisms. They are premature and they are political."
Ukraine's Minister of Defense Alexei Reznikov warned his Western partners that if they procrastinate over the supply of aircraft to Ukraine, that more Ukrainians will die. He expects Russia to try to claim a land corridor to the Crimean Peninsula and cement land claims in the east.
Kremlin wants to reach strategic goal as minimum to control administrative border of Luhansk and Donetsk district. It's their crazy dream.
This is ABC News. A growing online conspiracy theory is baselessly linking the COVID vaccines to the deaths of people who passed away suddenly, and they're doing so without regard for the consequences or the truth.
The phrase "died suddenly" is routinely used in obituaries, news reports, and on GoFundMe pages. But now, anti-vaccine activists are seizing on it to flood social media with suggestions that those sudden deaths were the result of COVID vaccines. Users have been affixing the hashtag "died suddenly" and a syringe emoji to stories ranging from a 6-year-old girl who died in Ohio, even though she really had lifelong health problems, to an actress who died, but it was due to a bacterial infection, and to a Brazilian TV host who collapsed on air, but that was due to a heart condition, and he's actually still alive. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Europe today imposed a ban on Russian diesel fuel and other refined oil products, slashing energy dependency on Moscow and seeking to further crimp the Kremlin's fossil fuel earnings as punishment for invading Ukraine. Dave Packer, ABC News.
From executive...
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. After decades of losses, the population of rural America is growing again. The Journal of Rural Sociology says 1/3 of non-metro counties have gained population since the pandemic. Sarah Malott is a data journalist for the Daily Yonder. She says rural counties where recreational activities drive the local economy are growing the fastest.
So people then associate these places with a higher quality of life.
If trends continue, Malott says the population of rural America could grow by 1.3% by 2030.
That's actually 23% higher than the projected urban rate.
Other rural communities have found novel ways to attract people to live and work. Anya Stepien has more on that.
The first decade of the 2000s was not kind to Newton, Iowa. The appliance company Maytag was bought out, and when their headquarters closed, 2,000 jobs went with it. Then the housing bubble burst. When no new building permits were issued in 2011, Bruce Showalter, the housing director for the Newton Housing Development Corporation, knew the town was in trouble.
If you're not building new houses or upgrading your housing stock, then you're dying. So if we didn't do something, the city was going to just deteriorate and continue to lose population.
So Newton created a new housing initiative, which provides a $10,000 cash incentive to anyone building a home worth $190,000, as well as a subscription to the local newspaper and a YMCA membership. In the past 9 years, more than 100 homes have been built, helping grow Newton's economy as well as its population.
Half of those houses have been sold to new people moving to town. So we're actually drawing people to town because of this program.
More than 50 other rural communities offer incentives, from free building lots and cash payments to complimentary dinners and internet credits. I'm Anya Slepian.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The
the city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Kroot.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bock Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Friday, February 3rd. Groundhog Day is behind us. Thank God. Because we already know. I never understood the, you know, early winter versus six more weeks of winter. There's no such thing as an early spring in Wisconsin. If we get it warming up for a day or two, it just guarantees there's probably 8 to 12 inches that's going to fall sometime shortly after that. Carolyn Fiddler joins us, Courier Newsroom political editorial director, also the author of the State House Action newsletter. And we'll talk about political goings-on all around the country coming up in just a bit. Just a reminder that we will also talk at the bottom of the hour with Mark Jacob, a former editor with the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times, about media coverage of this week's top stories, especially everything about Ron DeSantis. And is he just a maverick taking on the education establishment? Or, you know, is he a racist white nationalist trying to erase Black history? I don't know. You decide. And Dan Schumacher should join us near the end of the hour and try to dispel any rumors that Tom Brady is actually not retiring and is going to play for his beloved Chicago Bears sometime after this. We should all be so lucky. 844-967-2789 is the phone number. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
Glad it's Friday. It's been a heck of a week.
Yes. And give the address for State House Action again, because I really want to talk about last week's newsletter too.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's statehouseaction.substack.com. Or you can go to my Twitter profile at CFIDD, and there's a link right there. And you can see all my bad jokes, too, if you really want.
They're not bad jokes.
They are.
Okay, they're bad, but they make you laugh in their badness. So it's okay.
That's what I go for.
Yeah. So the State House Action newsletter is a prime example. Carolyn and I are so similar. We can write so much stuff about so many things, but we can only seem to write it when we are right on deadline, and then it all just flows out. Because I mean, every week we talk about what's going to be in the newsletter. I don't know, we'll see. Just like Aaron says to me sometimes during commercial breaks, what's going to be in the next segment? I don't know, we'll see what falls out. But so you were kind of I'm just bringing this up because last week you really sold short the newsletter. It had an education theme to it, and we mentioned the education theme, but the volume of stories and all of the many ways that schools are being tinkered with around the country, you know, all kidding aside, it is extremely noteworthy, the assault on education that goes on that you were documenting last week.
Yeah, no, between like getting rid of discussion of race in schools and trying to wipe LGBTQ people out of existence. Those are the main themes, really.
Yeah, I mean, but there, I mean, there really is so much more that folks should take a look at here. As I'm looking at a couple of notes for this week's newsletter, I'm going to start with the last one first because this just really catches me. Virginia's Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin. All I see here is he made a math error, but somehow it screwed Virginia schools out of $200 billion. That's quite a math error.
Yeah, no, he says he's like this numbers guy. He came from like hedge fund world or no venture capital, whatever. He ran on this whole like I'm good with math thing, and his administration screwed Virginia schools out of a boatload of money because of an error in a spreadsheet. Like he can't even get his own math right, and now Virginia schools are screwed. Like not just, I mean, for the rest of this year and for the next couple and the next one as well. And it's going to hit the rural schools worse, and it's going to hit like wealthy school districts like where I live in Northern Virginia, because those schools rely more percentage wise on state money and they're going to get a lot less of it. And I grew up in one of those counties that's in the middle of nowhere, gets a lot of state money because the tax base is not very flush. So, yeah, that sucks. And there's been no move to do anything about it in the legislature. They found out in December. They told the legislature this week. And the session's like more than half over already.
But you don't sound nearly as skeptical about the word error as I would when I first saw it. I mean, is there like conventional wisdom there that it was an error with finger quotes, or that it was that they genuinely screwed up?
They genuinely screwed up. They didn't take into account money lost from the grocery tax partial repeal last year. Something that, you know, people who do these formulas knew about and should have accommodated for. And the error in air quotes is like knowing about it since December and not saying about it until this week, saying anything about it until this week. Like that's the air quote error. the mistake itself was just like, really, y'all? You have one job.
You have one job. Republicans in Arizona, when we talk about gerrymandering, it's usually about legislative districts, congressional districts here in Wisconsin. And the note here is that Republicans in Arizona are trying to gerrymander a county.
Yes, the biggest one in the state, Maricopa, that we hear a lot about right after elections, because Republicans in Arizona are increasingly angry that it keeps going bluer and bluer and bluer. And Democrats have started winning it, you know, statewide, Biden, Hobbs, other people, but Democrats might also take over like the county, like Board of Supervisors commission, the governing board of Maricopa County, and Republicans are terrified. And so they want to basically break up Maricopa County into four smaller counties that would drastically dilute Black and Latino voting power.
And of course, it always comes down to the communities of color. Carolyn Fiddler, thanks so much for sticking around. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right. We'll have more coming up in just a bit on Up North News Radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 30. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to around 16. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 37. Tomorrow, overcast. Temperatures a bit above average Tuesday and Wednesday with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 31.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
We'll get to the budgetary back and forth between Governor Tony Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss coming up in just a bit. For some housekeeping, tomorrow we will have an attorney from the Green Bay area who has experienced the full range of smears for being a trans woman, from whispers to, you know, full out bellowing from, you know, trash radio on the right wing. And she will tell us more about the LGBTQ issues in the state Supreme Court race. That reminds me to tell you, if you haven't received or applied for your absentee ballot yet, and there's any doubt that you'll be able to vote in person on February 21st, then go get that absentee ballot. Write this down. Myvote.wi.gov takes very little time. You'll get your absentee ballot and you can vote in the race. Tomorrow, we'll also talk to Julie Lassa, my former colleague in the Wisconsin State Senate, who now heads up Wisconsin Rural Development for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and will tell us about the latest USDA grants designed to help infrastructure improvements in Wisconsin. Thursday, we'll have Hometown Health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and she will have Dr. Ben Weston in here, and we'll talk about where are we now with COVID and new vaccine recommendations. And in a very timely move here, we will also talk about something new from the Bush administration that looks to sunset the national emergencies for the COVID-19 pandemic. It does not mean COVID is going away. It does not mean we have to be any less cautious. It's more of an administrative thing with certain provisions that come with it. We'll find out what they are, but then again, have that reminder of what we can all do for our health and well-being, and try to keep this thing, which is still killing hundreds of people a day, at bay. Again, our phone numbers today, 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Without a guest today, your voice will break up the rambling of mine as we talk about things like what's on the Up North News Facebook page, where we have video from Milwaukee mom Deanna Branch. She was at the White House last week to be recognized for the way she spent years fighting to replace lead water pipes after her son Aiden was hospitalized twice with severe lead poisoning. Thanks to Branch's activism and that of many others, it built a movement that secured $15 billion in funding for lead pipe replacement as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. Deanna introduced Vice President Kamala Harris at the event, and then she later talked to Up North News in a video that you can see on our Facebook page. So take a look over there. And we're asking our question of the week, are you middle class, and what's your definition of middle class? It appears to be that fewer Americans are now considered middle class, not just because some aren't doing as well as maybe their parents' generation, but obviously there's a lot of people whose wealth has grown exponentially compared to what we were used to when we were a lot younger. So we'd be curious as to see how you define middle class. To answer that, just go to the Up North News Facebook page. Look for the post with my mug and Aaron over here as we do the live video feed of this radio show, and give us your thoughts in the comments on that particular post. To the state capitol now, where, again, the legislature has to, every other year, approve a state budget that funds things for the next 2 years. The ways that our roads will be fixed, the way that our schools will be funded, the way that our natural resources will be cared for, and so many other things. And of course, this has been a bit of a difficult stretch, shall we say, the past 4 years with Governor Evers and Republicans controlling the legislature butting heads. But of course, it goes back farther than that. It dates back to 2011 when Republicans first took over the Wisconsin legislature with Scott Walker as governor, and an era of austerity began that has continued to squeeze local governments and school districts. It has led to higher property taxes because with the state not holding up its end of the bargain, local taxpayers are being asked to pay more through the property tax instead. And now Republicans in the legislature have been proposing a way to make things even worse. And that's by having what they call a flat tax, which is nothing more than a giveaway to the super wealthy, because instead of various brackets where the wealthier you are, the slightly higher percentage of your income gets paid in income taxes, all of those extra brackets would go away and everybody would pay the amount of the lowest bracket. So, billionaires like John Menard and Diane Hendricks, they would pay the same 3.5% state income tax rate as any middle class family, as anybody in what you would call the working poor, all paying the same, which is, you know, great news if you're John Menard or Diane Hendricks. Means that you don't have to do nearly as much as you're asked to do now to help fund the things that, you know, gave you the conditions to eventually become a billionaire or at least very well off. And instead, you can plow that into other matters like, you know, Diane Hendricks did with putting millions of dollars into political ads to help, you know, Ron Johnson win re-election rather than, again, funding things that are essential in Wisconsin. Needless to say, that this is a proposal that would not pass any Democratic governor, and last we checked, Tony Evers, being a Democratic governor, is in office. And yet Republicans have continued to talk about how they want to, they're trying to sell you on a flat tax plan. And they figure if they refer to it that way enough times, rather than, you know, a huge tax break for the very wealthy, that public sentiment will build for it. But there's no sign that that's happening. And of course, Governor Evers isn't bending. They eventually have to make a deal. And so this past weekend on Capital City Sunday from WKOW-TV in Madison, A.J. Bitepour sat down with Governor Evers and talked about whether Evers was actually willing to veto an entire state budget if that is the only way to kill a GOP flat tax plan that might be included. Here's a little of that Q&A.
Any scenario in which you would veto a Republican budget that returns to your desk?
They do the tax proposal that they're looking to do, yes. The fair tax, where it's going to be equal across all parts of Wisconsin, that is not in my bailiwick.
So you'd veto that entire budget? You wouldn't seek a partial veto? You would just...
Possibly. But that's kind of a death knell for me. I think our progressive tax system is a good one, and we don't need to be spending our time and effort to provide the wealthiest of Wisconsinites with an extraordinary large tax cut.
And one of the things you may have caught in there is the governor trying to couch the rhetoric. AJ is properly asking about essentially the nuclear option of vetoing an entire budget bill and making the legislature, you know, send something new. And by and large, governors don't have to do that in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin governors have a line item veto that is still very powerful and allows a governor to strike out portions of a budget bill to try to avoid that very scenario of having to veto an entire budget bill. But again, the question has to be asked and answered so that the governor can make clear that, you know, he is not going to go along with this particular type of massive tax giveaway.
So in some other states, you might not necessarily be able to veto individual things on the budget, and you'd have to cancel out the whole
exactly.
thing.
Yep. Across the 50 states, there are all kinds of different rules. Wisconsin has typically had the most powerful line item veto once upon a time. Governors could strike individual digits and individual letters to form new words. That has since been reformed, but a governor can still do that far more here than almost any other state. But it does vary from state to state.
Yeah, at least that's been reformed, because forming whole new words or just taking off a zero is a bit ridiculous.
It is. And so that part has been reformed over the years. And then, of course, there's been that discussion of, you know, a partial veto overall. Should chief executives even have that, or should it just be a take it or leave it approach? In my view, having a reformed partial veto, which we have now, is probably the best way to go to ensure that, you know, both sides act in good faith. And to his credit, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told Matt Smith on WISN TV's Upfront last weekend that he's not going to insist on a flat tax. It's not a take it or leave it thing. Matt Smith asked if Voss is willing to work to avoid a veto showdown with the governor, and Voss said, of course he is.
Are you working to ensure, I guess, through compromise that that won't happen?
Well, it's never our goal. I mean, we want to make sure that whatever budget that gets through the legislature focuses on the priorities that we have, and hopefully they're shared by Governor Evers. Look, I'm very sincere in saying, look, not everything has to be an argument. I think we can have massive tax reduction. I think we can also make investments in our priorities. It won't necessarily be one or the other, and I realize that. I hope he does, too.
On taxes, the governor has said to me, if a flat tax is included in the Republican budget, that could signal a veto from him. Are you going to include that anyways?
Well, we have to work with our Senate colleagues. First of all, I think we need to have significant tax reform to be able to make sure that Wisconsin remains competitive.
So you're not hard set on a flat tax?
No, I mean, that would be my preference. But again, I understand that Governor Evers has concerns with that. But the most important thing for us to do is we have to make big efforts toward reducing our tax burden. Flat tax would be ideal. If we can't get it too ideal, there are other ways to get there.
So there's the speaker again, and again, noting, and I say this as a former state senator, here's the assembly speaker reminding everybody that, you know, the Senate Republicans get a vote too. And sometimes the Senate Republicans do not necessarily agree with the assembly Republicans. I know that sounds hard to believe, but it actually does happen. It's quite true. Then I can tell you there were times when, as a member of the Senate Democratic Caucus, we'd look at the assembly Democratic Caucus and say, what? We're not taking that up. You know, that's part of the fun of a bicameral legislature. But Voss does continue to make the point in his mind that there needs to be significant tax reform. And he says if they can't get it through, you know, one way of having a massive giveaway to the very wealthy, they'll look for another way to do it. And I don't doubt that for a minute, that is ultimately what they're trying to do, is lower taxes more for the people who are at the very top of the income food chain. And Assembly Speaker Voss said as much on the floor of the assembly last week, saying something along the lines of, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And while that's the valid position to take, should that really be your highest priority right now? Is another massive tax giveaway for the very wealthy, or are there bigger fish to fry? Are there more pressing problems in the state to work on as the economy continues to make a comeback from a pandemic? And as the state sits with a $7 billion budget surplus, in case you missed that last week, yes, the amount of the surplus has been raised again. It's $7 billion that is simply sitting there unused. Again, Republicans were hoping Tim Michaels would win the governor's race, and then that whole $7 billion would be devoted to tax cuts, mostly toward the rich, and almost none of it would get used for things like schools and roads and things like that. Well, as I've said many times, there are so many ways to get a win-win out of a $7 billion surplus, where you can do big-time tax breaks, especially for the middle class and for the working poor, and also fund essential services. But there are ways to screw this whole thing up as well. And if legislative Republicans want to continue to cling to massive tax giveaways at the very top as their highest priority, then yes, the rhetoric of a veto, as harsh as it sounds, is something that's still going to be in play. When we come back, more headlines around Wisconsin, your phone calls if you wish as well to come join us on Up North News Radio.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. New Hampshire's Governor Chris Sununu joining a chorus of Republicans criticizing President Biden's timing to shoot down the Chinese spy balloon, telling ABC's This Week,
"You have to have leadership. You have to be transparent. You have to be fast acting. They weren't.
They weren't at all.
But Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer today.
I would use two words in answering these GOP criticisms. They are premature and they are political.
Ukraine's Minister of Defense Alexei Reznikov warned his Western partners that if they procrastinate over the supply of aircraft to Ukraine, that more Ukrainians will die. He expects Russia to try to claim a land corridor to the Crimean Peninsula and cement land claims in the east.
Kremlin wants to reach strategic goal as minimum to control administrative border of Luhansk and Donetsk district. It's their crazy dream.
This is ABC News.
From If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Percent of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
All right, this week's segment with Mark Jacob is not necessarily for the faint of heart who say, can't we all just get along? Can't we all just, you know, have moderation? And there's many times where you do want to cooperate and get along with people, like we discussed earlier this week. Even when you have passionate disagreements on things, you can still get along in other areas. But there's times when that really is not what's called for. And it's time to talk about the very ugliest slice of American politicians. With my usual disclaimer, not all Republicans are X just because we describe certain Republicans, but there are some truly terrible ones in positions of power, and it cannot be overstated the kind of threat they pose to our country. I know a lot of everyday Republicans, you know, neighbors and friends who would personally love to see their party reclaimed and brought back from the fringes, but that's not where we're at right now. And that means every so often we have to shine a light on the really bad stuff, the white nationalism, outright racism, fascism, from people who feign offense when we call out this crap, but they are what they do, not merely what they say. So we're going to start with the white nationalist governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, and bring in our friend Mark Jacob to help critique press coverage of DeSantis's words and deeds. He's a former editor at both the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times. Mark, good morning.
Hi, how are you doing, Pat?
I was doing all right, kind of, sort of, until I saw that New York Times headline that basically, you know, said in so many words that he's just this maverick who's taking on the education establishment and building a brand. That's not what he's doing at all.
No. What it is, is it's taking this kind of political stunts and these this, you know, owning the libs kind of just obnoxious behavior and turning that into, you know, just, or pretending that's normal politics. I mean, you know, with him, I, honestly, Pat, I view him as maybe the most dangerous politician in America today. Because, I mean, if you think that Trump is kind of over the hill, and I think he probably is, although he could still win the nomination, you know, in 2024. DeSantis seems to be, yes, growing his brand, but his brand is fascism. His brand is kidnapping migrants from Texas of all places and flying them to Massachusetts of all places in order to like to pull some stunt and get a headline.
By the way, there's a new cost estimate on how much in legal fees Florida taxpayers have had to pay because of all of these stunts, and it works out to a cost per immigrant of $40,000. He would have done less damage to hand every immigrant a check for $39,000, and the Florida taxpayers would still come out ahead.
But and that ticker is still going because he's been sued because they got these migrants on this plane by false circumstances. So, you know, they lied to them and told them they had jobs and told them they were going to Boston and stuff like that, and they weren't. And so we'll have to see what the final, toll to taxpayers is. But, and that's just one thing. I mean, tracking menstrual cycles of high school girls who were trying to, you know, play sports.
In order to prove that they're not trans, it's so gross.
It's creepy stuff. The guy is a dangerous, scary guy, and he's governor, and he won re-election, you know, overwhelmingly proving that you can fool some of the people some of the time. Mm-hmm. He won re-election recently, and so he is a powerful politician in a big state, and he's just darn dangerous. And this thing that you're talking about, the New York Times headline, that's based on the fact that he actually strong-armed the College Board to rewrite its AP class on African American studies.
And got them to drop all kinds of points and authors. And it was just the worst knuckling under I could have ever expected from an institute dedicated to higher education.
Right. I mean, and would you've done the same thing with, you know, like an Italian American studies or Jewish American studies? No, you wouldn't have done it. And the reason he went after, because part of his brand is being a racist, and he knows it. And this is how he signals that to people. But the thing that drives me just totally nuts about this whole CRT stuff, this critical race theory thing, is number one, people don't know what it is. They're opposed to it, but they don't know what it is. Number two, studying Black American history is studying American history. Right. That's part of what we're supposed to do. And what is the point of history? The point of history is to understand why we are where we're at now, and to try to avoid the mistakes of the past. And I don't see any the motive for trying to cover up Black history, I don't understand, other than you're just a racist and you want to hide the crimes of the past, or two, you want to just signal to people that you're going to keep the, you know, the Black people down, and that whites are going to retain all their privilege, and that you're, you know, just the signal. It's not virtue signaling, it's racism signaling.
As the irony is captured by David Rothkopf on Twitter, who writes, No textbook or academic class could illustrate America's history of institutional racism as well as watching Ron DeSantis trying to bar Florida teachers from revealing the true history of Black America. And as written by a guy named Mark Jacob, when right-wingers say their America is under siege and they're fighting to save it, they really mean they won't surrender their white privilege and they're willing to abandon democracy to keep it. And as we've shown in stories that we were talking about just today about lying about elections, what you wrote there is completely true.
Yeah, and I don't know how you get beyond that. I mean, it's, you know, it's not that I don't know how you can convince people that racism is bad if they don't already believe it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing that stuns me about this. I mean, I was raised to think that we need to be fair to all people and that, you know, all citizens of this country, all people who lived here, you know, had equal rights. And if you don't believe that, I don't know how to convince people to give up what is clearly white privilege. I mean, you see, there was a study just this week that showed that recently Black Americans are audited by the IRS at three times the rate that everyone else is. Well, you know, that's called systemic racism. And we need to figure out why that's the case. And we need to try to make sure that just because you're a member of a certain ethnic group, you are not discriminated against in this country. I mean, that's just a matter of fairness. And if you don't understand what happened in the past, you don't understand what's happening in the present. I mean, and here in Chicago, I'm talking to you from Chicago, and people don't understand this, but there used to be laws in Chicago and bank policies that prevented Black people from getting home loans. They had to do this kind of lease to buy program where they had to like pay their rent on a house. And if they did it over decades, they could eventually buy the house. But if they missed a payment, they were out of luck. You know, they would just get kicked out and all their money was gone. It was not a traditional bank loan. And because Black people in Chicago could not get bank loans, they lost so much intergenerational wealth. And, you know, if you wonder, well, why are there poor people in Chicago who are Black? That's one of the reasons. And it's so if you don't understand what happened in the past, you don't understand why the present is the way it is.
And so reporting on that, doing any kind of whether it's lessons in the classroom or stories in the media, either case, when you are calling attention to the facts of our past, it's now being labeled as wokeness. And DeSantis is one of those with the, you know, we've got to stop wokeness, which leads us into my other topic here. And it takes us into journalism and media. And that is Len Downey, the former executive editor of The Washington Post, who's now a journalism instructor, has an article in The Washington Post talking about it is well past time for newsrooms to move beyond something called objectivity, which nobody can truly get to, and get to being trustworthy. And you get to being trustworthy by reporting the facts as they are. That's not wokeness. Right. That is gaining trust through not holding back on stories that might make people uncomfortable.
Right. Well, I mean, what the duty of journalists to me is to find out the facts and report them as accurately and fairly as possible. That does not mean that if there are two sides in a dispute that you have to give equal time to both sides or that you have to pretend that one side's right when it's clearly wrong based on the facts. I mean, you didn't see any bunch of reporting in World War II that talked about, well, and Hitler denies that he's invaded Poland and stuff like that. I mean, you didn't. You didn't because the news media in the United States understood that it was in the best interest of the people and the country and in democracy to, you know, that Hitler was an enemy. They understood that. And they understood that he was a liar and that they couldn't believe anything he said. And so the news media during World War II operated based on those clear and accurate principles. And so I don't understand why today you have to do this kind of both sidesism where you know, you absolutely know that the Republicans are lying to you, but you have to repeat everything they say and act like it's normal too. And there's a terrific essay by Molly Jung Fast, who's one of my favorite writers, in Vanity Fair, and she says, you know, that the real problem is that the mainstream media has a bias toward normalcy, and therefore, when they see a completely, you know, off the rails, fascist, scary, authoritarian guy like Donald Trump, they have to want depict him as just a normal politician. And that he, she said, she, her argument is that's the way they seem to be approaching the next presidential election. And it's scary because, I mean, just to be really clear, Donald Trump recently dined with Nazis, and Donald Trump also recently said that we needed to suspend the Constitution. I mean, he said that. I mean, he wrote it. It's on social media. It's not me making it up. He said that. And so to treat him like, well, he's another normal politician, let's just treat it that way, is crazy.
The way that Len Downey puts it, and I should note he's a professor at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University. But when you talk about, you know, what is normal and, you know, that there's a bias toward normal, he writes that normal was basically a standard dictated over decades by male editors in predominantly white newsrooms, reinforced by their own view of the world. They believe that pursuing objectivity can lead to false balance. Now we believe it can lead to false balance or misleading both sidesism when you're talking about race, the treatment of women, LGBTQ, income inequality, climate change. And in today's diversified newsrooms, he writes, more people feel it negates many of their own identities, life experiences, and cultural context, keeping them from pursuing the truth in their work. And again, you can denigrate that as, you know, wokeness if you want, but that really is what is going to get to more fact-based reporting, which is what that is, the one piece of normal that we can still carry with us from our days in journalism school is to deal in the facts.
Right. And actually talk to people of all types and understand. Now, I mean, you know, I was an editor. I made assignments. I told reporters to go write stories. Now, that's the thing about objectivity, which I used to believe in journalism and don't anymore. Because when you think about it, I wasn't assigning reporters to cover all stories. I wasn't saying, go out and cover everything. I was deciding what I thought was important for our readers, and I was telling them to go report on it. And so the very act of assigning a news story is a value judgment. It's not objective. It's not. You're not covering everything. Right. And if you've got a newsroom that's got editors who are all white and male, you're going to cover certain kinds of stories that you're not going to cover if you're more diverse.
I got a minute left. And when we talk about, you know, people who are based in facts and truth and people who are not, Arkansas's new governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, is the one who's going to give the Republican response to President Biden's State of the Union address. And you think that's a good choice?
Oh, that's the perfect choice. I mean, you know, talk about what person was caught in the Mueller report admitting that they had lied at the White House? Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She admitted she just made something up that she said. And it's right there documented in the Mueller report.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Mueller report is not like a wokeness document. Mueller was a Republican, and the report is very careful in that way. But Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, professional liar, and she's also she's pulling all this crazy woke stuff in Arkansas. I mean, anti-woke stuff in Arkansas. So she is the perfect choice. She is the symbol of the Republican Party.
Oh, without a doubt. Mark Jacob, thanks so much. Always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, see you then.
All right. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about sports heading into the weekend and get you all started for your weekend on this Friday morning here on Up North News Radio.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 30. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to around 16. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 37. Tomorrow, overcast. Temperatures a bit above average Tuesday and Wednesday with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 31.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
We can fly.
One more time for Groundhog's Day. It's me and these same characters again and again and again, and the character includes Luke Mathers. Good morning, Mr. Mathers.
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow.
How are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. Thursday kind of crept up on me a little fast here. I was getting ready with the.
Are there only 3 days in the week? I'm pretty sure there's still 7 days in the week. It comes when it always comes, you know.
When you're jamming in as much as you can, they kind of blend together some weeks. So this week it came up fast.
Second hardest working man at Civic Media, which I say only because I still give that title to Chad Holmes because he has to cover things 24/7.
I was going to say, I could count at least a handful of people that are probably more hardworking than I, but yes, I appreciate that. We're a very busy team here.
None more valuable. Welcome to a segment I'm renaming Homeroom, Civic Media Homeroom, because... Because again, not every show is on every Civic Media station, with the exception of Devil's Advocates and like this one for sure to start the day. And so, much like homeroom and school, we're just going to take this segment and it's going to be homeroom for all the Civic Media listeners before you all go off to your various places, whether it's Earl Ingram or Stephanie Miller or Todd Alba or what have you. And the big thing, the big homeroom announcement from Principal Luke Mathers is Charlie Behrens coming to Civic Media on a permanent basis.
Before the fun of Charlie Behrens, we've got a homework assignment. Next Tuesday, the State of the Union is being broadcast across the Civic Media Network. So the homework assignment is to be sure to tune in for that special coverage. Going to be anchored by our news director, Terry Bell, from 8 to 10 p.m. It's kind of a late evening State of the Union, Pat. So I apologize if you're going to have to, you know, stay up a little later than you used to. You might need a nap next Tuesday.
I'm just going to sleep. I'm not doing a damn thing for it.
You're not going to watch the State of the Union?
Is there still an internet? No, I'll read about it in the morning. Let me guess. Fair enough. The chamber stands up at some point and applauds. No, these are very valuable. It'll be nice to hear ideas. Again, that's been our theme this week. One side's giving you ideas. One side is doing bills about drag shows and, you know, whatever else. So
M&M's.
Conservative talking points.
Yes. Blah, blah, yes. Blah, 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 blah. Yep. Blah, blah. All right. So that's Tuesday's homework assignment.
Yes. But before that, we kind of mess up the order a little bit because the fun is beginning this weekend, kicking off with Charlie Behrens' Cripecast being broadcast across the Civic Media Network at noon to one every Saturday and Sunday going forward. So the Civic Media will be the exclusive radio home for the Cripescast beginning this weekend. So we're thrilled about that. It is going to be a lot of fun. And Charlie's doing a whole takeover of the radio station here in Madison this weekend. So beginning at 6 p.m. on Friday, tomorrow evening, it's going to be all Charlie Behrens radio, all the way leading up to your show on Monday morning at 6 a.m. So there's going to be a complete Charlie takeover here in Madison, and we're really looking forward to that as well.
So you're saying when the Devil's Advocates end their show on the station in Madison, Devil Radio, at the end of Friday, It's all Charlie Barron's all throughout the weekend until I show up and ruin the fun 6 a.m. on Monday.
Yep, you get to come in and clean up after all the discussions of walleye and perch and
I was going to say there's
Jolly Good, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
There's going to be so much to clean up here, the half drunk beers and everything else. Kristen normally joins me at 6:30 on Mondays. Maybe you need to come in a little earlier at 6:07 and help me clean up this mess.
Seriously, yeah, and don't forget to tell your folks about it. Okay,
tell your folks I says hi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun beginning not this weekend, but the following weekend as well. The Gravedigger will be joining Earl Ingram every month. It's going to be beginning next Monday.
Is that official now too?
That is official. So beginning on Monday, You're going to want to tune in for the 8 o'clock hour of the Earl Ingram show in Waukesha, Oshkosh, and Green Bay. The Gravedigger will join Earl for that entire hour, and then that hour will be replayed across the Civic Media Network following the Cripes Cast beginning not this weekend but next weekend. So that first hour beginning Monday at 8 a.m. on the Earl Ingram show next week.
Gilbert Brown coming back. How cool is that? I mean, look at Kristen's eyes light up from living close to Lambeau Field as she does to think that we've got a former Packer legend who's going to do a weekly segment with us.
Like, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
I know. Absolutely. And so it's going to be titled Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. And he will be joining Earl live every Monday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. And then that will be replayed Saturdays and Sundays across Civic Media radio stations on the 1 o'clock hour. So 1 to 2 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays will be the exclusive podcast hour for that edition of the Earl Ingram Show.
I mean, I thought we were done with big news with the $1 million ad giveaway.
Oh, and we've got a lot of work going on with that right now. We had more than 200 businesses sign up last week for the $1 million advertising giveaway.
Wow.
But if you thought that was the end of the news, get ready, Hayward, Wisconsin, because we're trugging through some snow to get everything turned on. But it is coming, Hayward. The Buzz of the North, 9:10 a.m. will be hopefully in the next couple days here. We had engineers up there this week, and we're getting ready to flip the switch and turn on the power very, very soon in Hayward.
You shut your damn mouth. This is this is so cool. More Civic Media in the Northwoods. You guys are creeping closer and closer to Lake Wissota, and this is so encouraging. This is great. I feel like the little invasion map is just filling in more as the Civic Media Empire shadow spreads across Wisconsin, bringing, how did I put it last night, Kristen, that you and Kirk Bangstad were like the pollinators in the garden in the garden of Wisconsin, progressive media, just buzzing from microphones to speakers and, bringing that pollen of joy and good ideas.
Uncle Pat told this beautiful story about gardens and perennials and annuals, and we were all just like,
I just take the honey that you guys produce and I slather it on the toast. That is my morning radio show, and for that I'm thankful. And now we get to do it in Hayward too.
That's fantastic.
And then. But of course, we can't say anything else, but I'm telling you, the next few words are going to be true, and there will be more. You're not done after Hayward.
No, there's a lot of plans. I've been saying over and over again, 2023 is going to be a fun year for us here at Civic Media, and there is a lot yet to come.
I have a question.
Yes, Dr. Lyerly.
Can we have a road trip? I think we need a tour. We need to go to Hayward. We need to go to Chippewa Falls. We need to go to Richland Center. We need to be there.
We need
and
a bus.
Have some fun with our honey and our bread and some cheese curds. And
Aaron's got an idea for this.
Oh, I would just like to agree that we need to do that. Even if it means that I have to stay here and keep it all on the air.
Good. We're going to get working on this. I have some calls I can make.
I'm just trying to get you the keys to the Green Bay studio so you can broadcast live here, Dr. Lyerly. I am
actually hoping to check that out later today. So I'm going to hit you up for the location of it so that I can get there. Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Pat.
Dr. Lyerly, so good to see you. We'll see you again Monday morning.
Can't wait. Have a great weekend one day in advance.
All right. Thanks. And then tomorrow, Kia Vakil, Carolyn Fiddler, Mark Jacob, Dan Schumacher. Everybody have a great day. We will see you Friday morning.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.